I said, you in here?
I'm here.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. I'm your host, Taylor Brown. Welcome back to the show. If you haven't checked out my episode, make sure you check that out. And for today's episode, a few topics I want to cover about. But before I do that, I'm going to introduce my guest. Go ahead.
This is Tyler Brown Sr. Tyler's dad. How's everything going?
Everything's good, man. Everything's good. All right, let's get into, before we get into the topics, I want to wish the great Michael Jackson a happy birthday. Yesterday was his birthday, as he would have been 61 today, if I'm not mistaken, or 60, something like that.
Right.
But as we know, he definitely was one of the best performers I've seen in my life. He had so many great hits and music and changed the industry of music, king of pop. Definitely one of my favorite artists to listen to. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, just, you know, happy birthday, Michael Jackson. May the king of pop rest in peace. You know, your memory lives on.
All right. Now let's get into it. Now, as we know, we just got the recent news, which surprised me, of the actor Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther star. He died at 43, but he was battling with colon cancer since 2016, and he died in his home. He played in many films, such as 42, Thurgood Marshall, played James Brown, Tumon Bridges, Draft Day, Black Panther, as we all know him by, The Five Bloods, and he played in Captain America's Civil War. He graduated from Howard in 2000. I was from South Carolina. This is very much shocking news. I didn't expect this. I didn't really know he was battling cancer because it never really came out public. But in this short period of time, he definitely left a mark and was one of my favorite actors to watch.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation with his departure, his passing away. It was definitely a shock to everyone. Honestly, I didn't know he was battling cancer or any illness. I had no idea, actually. But it's funny because when I seen him on the episode of The Shop, the LeBron James show, you know, I did say that he looked awfully thin. But, you know, you don't know if someone's, you know, might have lost weight for an upcoming role or whatever the case may be, because actors do that. They fluctuate in weight, you know, based on the role that they have to play for an upcoming movie or TV show, whatever the case may be. So, you know, I was saying that he looked thin, but didn't think not much of it. And then all of a sudden to get hit with the news the other day of his passing away, that was a complete shock. So, you know, rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. You know, he left a mark on us in such a short period of time with the great work that he's done. And as you listed the movies that he's played in, he's played in some great quality films and had great roles and was a great actor. And, you know, rest in peace, definitely gone too soon. And, you know, it's just a situation where it just lets you know that life is, you know, in short, you know, nowadays, no one's promised tomorrow. So we definitely have to live our life to the fullest.
All right, as you mentioned before, he's saying that he looked skinny. I saw on social media that people was kind of like making fun of him, saying that he was looking skinny, but people were saying you should never make fun of anybody. You don't know what people are going through. And we definitely didn't know he was going through this because it was kept under wraps from his team. So it never really came out public. He was going through cancer. And for him to film these movies while going through that, it's definitely that's inspiration. That's a lot of dedication to hard work. That's not easy to do.
Well, it's definitely not easy to do, especially when you're battling cancer and he might have been going through like chemotherapy treatments and radiation therapy treatments, and those type of treatments take a lot of energy out of you. And it's very, taxing on the body. So for him to still be able to, play in all of these different films and perform at such a high level just lets you know that, he was just determined. And the grit he was showing, during the time that he was battling this, this deadly illness, it's definitely nothing but respect for what he did and accomplished, and definitely hats off to him. Unfortunately, it's just another fallen soldier.
Sorry, another fact is that Denzel Washington actually paid for him to go to school and his tuition when he was in school. So without Denzel, there wouldn't be no Chadwick Boseman. So shout out to Denzel for
absolutely
putting his money in him, and he came out to be a great actor. And may he rest in peace, rest his soul, man. And 2020 couldn't get any worse. We lost another good one.
Yes, absolutely. Unfortunately, but yeah, shout out to Denzel for investing in Chadwick and paying for his acting classes. And Denzel obviously saw a gem in him and felt the need to invest in him to give him a shot. So definitely shout out to Denzel.
All right, moving on. Now, NBA All-Star Cliff Robinson dies at 53. Cliff Robinson was an All-Star who played for the Trailblazers and the Suns, who passed away. He was a former UConn player, who was drafted in 1989 to the Blazers and played for 8 seasons. He helped the Blazers to 2 NBA Finals and won Sixth Man of the Year in 1993 and was selected an All-Star in 1994. And his former teammates honor him in tributes that were shared on Twitter, and his cause of death is unknown at this time. Anything you want to say about him? Anything you know about him?
Yeah, I followed Cliff Robinson's pretty much his whole career, even going back to UConn, because I'm a St. John's Redmond, Redmond / Red Storm fan. So, he was playing for UConn back in the day when UConn was playing in the Big East. So I'm definitely well familiar with Cliff Robinson, and may he rest in peace as well. His death came a day after Chadwick Boseman, passed away. So it's once again, it's just another unfortunate situation where we lose another, great person, great athlete. Not knowing necessarily what the cause of his death is, but from what I've read in some type of source earlier, I believe he might have had a stroke. Like a couple of years ago, so I'm not sure what type of complications he might have had, from it, or whatever the case may be. But it's just an unfortunate, situation. Another person dying so young. But he was definitely able to accomplish great things in the NBA. Had a long career. Had about an 18-year career in the NBA. So rest in peace, Cliff Robinson, and prayers out to his family.
Very unfortunate, very unfortunate. All right. Next topic. Suspect shoots two police officers as they respond to a call in St. Louis. One of the police officers was shot in the head and the other was shot in the leg. The officer that was shot in the head is in critical condition. The suspect ordered a couple out of their home and went inside. He tried to persuade him to come out. And 8 St. Louis officers have been shot in the line of duty since June. The thing with all these shootings, it's very crazy with all the recent events going on, shooting in St. Louis and Wisconsin. And it's just people are just getting killed. It's just surprising. There's an officer, 2 officers getting shot to respond to a call, which is kind of bizarre. But in St. Louis, it's very dangerous in the world that we live in right now as we speak.
Yeah, it's a situation where right now this country is is definitely divided, and unfortunately the leadership in D.C. was the cause of the division, making it worse than what it already was. This country was never 100% united, but the division that we're seeing this day and time, I've never witnessed this type of division and racial tensions, in my lifetime. So, it's just a matter of us coming together and and uniting, but we also definitely need new leadership in the White House, because clearly he's not bringing people together. He is dividing people, and he's pretty much condoning the acts of racism and the police brutality that we see going on in nowadays, which is leading to a whole bunch of, violence throughout the entire country. With rioting and all type of stuff going on, and people getting shot and deaths, and it's just a horrible time right now. So, we all have to be safe. We all have to be smart. And unfortunately, us as colored people of color, we don't feel safe, from anyone.
Not all.
So we can't even rely on the police to properly, assist and protect us when they're the ones who are the problem. And the biggest problem is that, there's no consequences for the police to suffer. So they're basically all above the law right now, and that definitely needs to change.
All right. Speaking of the White House, the election is coming up in November, so everybody needs to go out and vote because every vote matters. And we definitely need to get Trump out of office. I definitely agree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At this point in time, anybody's better than him than having him do a second term in the White House. So we definitely have to go out and vote.
Absolutely. Even if you don't like Biden, that's what you write. Vote for him than Trump.
At the end of the day, there's no one else you can vote for. So it's either Biden or Trump. So at the end of the day, if you want to see change and you want to see some things, change with legislation and stuff, then yes, you definitely need to go out and vote for Biden, because we clearly see what direction this country is going in under Trump's leadership, which in my opinion, he's not a leader, but.
Right. So you definitely want to go out to the polls because I think the ballots this year might be a little bit shaky. I heard they was doing something with the ballots, and I don't think they're really trust the ballots this year. So you might want to get up early and go to the polls and pick your safe vote there because the ballots a little shaky this year. I don't know about the ballots this year, the mail
yeah,
ballots.
Between the mail ballots and between the antics with them, pulling up, and taking away mailboxes so that people can't mail in ballots and. Just all the different rhetorics that and the strategies that the Trump administration is using to discourage people to vote and making it hard for people to come out and vote, is very, very, very disappointing. But we as a people have to be determined to still go out and vote regardless of what type of strategies that he's trying to put in place to prevent us from voting.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next topic. Marcus Houston, as we know, was a former B2K member and was played in the movie You Got Served, got married, I think yesterday, over this past weekend, to his wife, who is a teenager, who's 19 years old. Dad, how do you feel about this, Dad?
Well, congratulations to him and his new wife. But personally, it's kind of mixed for me because I just don't understand how did that come about where he ends up marrying, a teenage girl. He's a grown man going on 40, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
He's 39.
39 going on 40. I'm wondering if the parents, if her parents, allowed for that to happen because of, the type of, the status that he has, actor, singer, I wonder if the parents, allow her to marry him, because they think, it would be financially beneficial for her. Whereas, if he was not a singer, an actor, let's say if he was a UPS worker or something like that, would they have let her marry or gave their blessings for her to marry someone that's 20 years older than her? So those are the questions that, I ask in terms of, how did that union come about? I know for me as a parent, If I had a 19-year-old daughter, I definitely wouldn't be giving. I wouldn't give my blessings for her to marry someone that's 20 years older than her. You know, she's pretty much fresh out of high school. Like, what does a 39-year-old man have in common with a 19-year-old woman, young woman? I would say, you know, at the end of the day, she's still a teenager, technically speaking. You know. She's only a year removed from high school. What could you really have in common with her? What bond could y'all really form? You as a 39-year-old man who's traveled the world and, you know, been all over the place and having, you know, success in the entertainment industry, just leads you to the question, like, what did you see in a 19-year-old woman that you couldn't have seen in, say, a 30 or 35-year-old woman, you know?
That's right. As a man, there's nothing wrong with a man being with dating or marrying a younger woman, but I feel like it should be a certain limit. Like, I feel like, come on, 20 years below, that's a little too off. Like, if she was like 5 years difference or 7, that's not too bad, but 20 years is a little, that's a reach. Definitely a reach.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you know, even a 10-year difference, when you're adult, you know, 10-year differential was not, you know, is not bad when you're adults. But she's not even considered an adult yet. She's, like I said, from a technical standpoint, she's still in her teenage years. She hasn't even completely left her teenage years yet. She's still 19, you know, and I stress the teen. So I just don't understand, you know, what did he see in a 19-year-old, you know, young lady as opposed to, you know, what he could have found in a 30-year-old, you know, young woman. You know, so yeah, that's a whole situation that's a little, you know, that makes you scratch your head, you know, because now when you hear stuff like this, you automatically now think of R. Kelly and, you know, the stuff that he was doing to young ladies and, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. So, you know,
I said we're not gonna get started on R. Kelly, but we know his story. But anyway,
yeah, but that's just
no, we know his story.
Yeah, we definitely do. So yeah, I mean, you know, no one can definitely tell you who to love and when to love them and whatever the case may be. But you know, for me, I know when I was in my 20s, I wasn't dealing with no teenagers. So even at 25, if you was a 18, 19-year-old teenager, I wasn't dealing with you. So I don't know what would make a 39-year-old man want to deal with and marry a 19-year-old young, you know, young lady who hasn't necessarily even become a young adult yet. So
I guess every man's mindset is different. I look at women, so I can't really speak for him. He can only really speak for himself. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's all not.
Teach his own, and I wish him the best.
All right. Now for the sports news update. As we know, the playoffs resumed yesterday after the boycotts, as we've been hearing about in Wisconsin. The NBA decided to resume their season, and the games were yesterday. As the Bucks beat the Magic, 118-104, Giannis with 28, Middleton with 21, Lopez with 16, Vucevic with 22, Fournier with 18, Fultz 14. As the Bucks move on to the second round, we'll play Miami in the second round. I mean, in the series, I predicted a sweep, but the Magic end up stealing the first game, and after that, the Bucks pretty much figured them out. So they won 4 straight. For them playing the Heat, it's gonna be a great series.
Yeah, absolutely. Orlando definitely came out in that first game and played very well to steal that first game. And, it, you know, definitely got to give credit to Orlando for being ready to play that first game. I'm not sure if Milwaukee wasn't necessarily ready to play or might have just taken them for granted, but they quickly realized that, you know, Orlando wasn't going to be any pushover, you know, and they were going to come to play. So they definitely had to get refocused after losing game one, but in which they did, and they answered the bell, and they were able to come back and win 4 straight games to eliminate them.
Yeah. And on to the next game, with the Rockets beating OKC 114-80. As the Rockets take a 3-2 lead, Harden with 31, Covington with 22, Gordon with 20. Russ came back yesterday, but only scored 7. Schroeder with 19. Chris Paul was 16, Adams with 12. To win, I feel like maybe they had momentum. They just won 2 straight. I feel like maybe those few days kind of threw them off, threw the game a little rust, and they came out kind of flat. So hopefully they get it together and make a game 7 so they won't get closed out.
Well, they definitely might have been a little distracted, especially with the protests of the games, you know, after Milwaukee decided to protest the games, a couple of days before it ended, everybody canceled their games. Definitely, you know, might have been a little distraction. I don't think it was necessarily rust. It's just like, you know, at this point in time, we're dealing with so much right now. So I give these ball players a lot of credit to get back out on the court and refocus and then try to perform at the highest level. One thing I will say is it didn't help that their leading scorer at the time in the game got kicked out of the game for, you know, an argument or a fight with the Houston player. I can't remember their names right now.
Schroeder.
He seemed to be having a good game, and the game seemed to be, you know, within reach at that point. I mean, at that point, he got, you know, kicked out of the game. I think he had like 19 points or something like that. So, you know, that definitely was a change in momentum for OKC and favored Houston at that point when Schroeder got kicked out of the game. But it's definitely a good series, a back and forth series, and we'll see if OKC can get back in it and tie the series up, you know, and force a game 7.
Definitely. Last game of the night, the Lakers and the Blazers. Lakers win 131 to 122. Anthony Davis with 43 points. LeBron with a 36-point triple-double, as he was the second Laker to have a 30-point triple-double since James Worthy back in 1989. Caldwell Pope with 14. McCollum with 36. Melo with 27. Nurkic and Trent with 16 each as the Lakers win the series 4-1 and move on to the second round and wait for Rockets and OKC series.
Yeah, definitely good series for the Lakers. Everyone, I'm pretty sure, expected the Lakers to move on to the next round. It definitely didn't help Portland that Dame Lillard went down with the injury and then wasn't able to return and actually left the bubble to get more medical examination. And hopefully he is nothing serious where he requires any type of surgery or anything like that. But yeah, you know, Lakers did what they were supposed to do. You know, you have a team down, you know, you close the deal like, the championship contending teams are supposed to do. So we definitely look forward to their next matchup in the second round.
Okay, right. But a lot of people were doubting the Lakers going into the series. You know, people were saying Portland was their biggest threat, and I didn't really think so. I mean, yes, Portland, they came into the bubble. They had a, you know, miraculous comeback as they were down 3 games from the 8th spot, and it was winning games, and they clinched the 8th spot, and they was on the road going to the playoffs, so they thought that they was their biggest threat, but I didn't really think so. I already knew the Lakers were a better team on paper, and Portland is like one of the worst teams defensively, so I knew Lakers had the advantage, even though after losing game 1, the Lakers just woke up and they won 4 straight.
Right. I mean, agreed. Lakers have been the better team all year long. And going into this playoff series, they definitely were the favor. But definitely could have been more of a competitive series had Dame Lillard been there healthy throughout. Losing, you know, Dame, you're giving up over 30 points, you know, and scoring the game from that position. And that's some, you know, hard shoes to fill when you lose a guy like that. Outside of, you know, Dame, you have C.J. McCollum who played a pretty decent series, but, you know, you can't replace, you know, Dame in the production that he gives you. So, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, the Lakers did what they were supposed to do, and they're moving on to the second round, and we'll definitely see if they're up for the challenge with their next opponent.
All right. Hopefully Dame's knee isn't too serious. Hopefully he has, you know, speedy recovery, and we'll definitely see him on the court next year. So with that, and the games that were going on today, we had Boston and Raptors today, Clippers and Mavericks, and Utah and Denver tonight. What was your predictions for today? As we picked today.
Well, I picked Boston over the Raptors today. I think Boston is a very good team, and I think they're kind of being, you know, overlooked. You know, a lot of people are, you know, looking, you know, at Milwaukee to pretty much represent the East, you know, in the finals. And even a lot of people are, you know, looking at Toronto, but Boston is good. They're a good team. They have, you know, good young talent. They're a young team. And they have a pretty good young coach. And they've been playing some very, very good basketball, and they showed it today. They kind of, you know, put a nice beating on Toronto today in game one. So this is definitely not going to be an easy series for Toronto to come back in. Boston shot the ball extremely well today. They shot very good from beyond the arc. And they have, you know, guys who can, you know, give you 20, 25 a night, you know, in any given night. You know, they have that in three to four different guys. You know, and the crazy part is they did playing without Gordon Hayward, you know, who went down with an injury, you know, before the playoffs, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So
no, he got hurt. He got hurt during the playoffs.
During the playoffs, yeah. So
first round.
Yeah. So yeah. So, you know, even with that, you know, with that being said, they still a young, dangerous team. And honestly, I'm picking them over Toronto in this series, and I expect them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee.
I mean, I picked Toronto to win a series. I feel like that series is going seven because they both evenly match out. So that's going to go seven. It's going to be a scrappy, tough series. I'm picking Toronto to win a series, even though, yeah, Boston is a great young team. I'm going to be wrong. They have great talent, but I feel like Toronto might just edge it out and face Milwaukee and be a rematch of that. On to the next game, as the Clippers closed out the Mavericks 4-2. I kind of figured what happened, even though it would have been nice for the Mavericks to get an upset, but I give props to the Mavericks as they fought hard, and if they had Porzingis, it would have been a different story, but he was out, so Clippers showed they were a better team, and they closed the series up today.
Yeah, once again, another, you know, team with one of the big, you know, integral parts to their team down and out with injury. You know, the Mavericks losing Porzingis and him not being able to play the last, you know, few games due to injuries, it was a big blow to them. You know, Luka Doncic, you know, played very well, you know, throughout the playoffs, the regular season. But unfortunately, he can't be a one-man gang. You know, he definitely needs help. And losing Porzingis was a big loss for them. So, you know, the Clippers did what they were supposed to do and closed them out in the fashion in which they did to move on to the second round. And that was to be expected.
That's right. For Luka's first playoff series, he definitely impressed a lot of us with the numbers he put up. I think he was averaging at least 30-something points per game in the series, like that, close probably triple-double. He definitely was impressive and was exciting to watch.
Yes.
Definitely was.
Absolutely. One of the young rising stars in the league, and definitely is going to be, you know, a force to be reckoned with for years to come.
It would definitely be an MVP conversation for the next few years. It definitely will.
Agreed.
I definitely will. And then tonight's game, we have Utah and Denver, as Utah looks to close out the series tonight. I think Utah will pull it out, hopefully. But you never know, this Denver team, they've been going back and forth. Really been watching the series, and the battle we've been looking at is Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray. They are out there. They're out there scoring back and forth for the 30, 40. It's exciting to watch. It really is.
Yeah, this is probably the best series in the playoffs right now, currently. this Utah-Denver series, you have two young budding stars pretty much going head-to-head and going at it with Donovan Mitchell and Murray. Both are averaging over 30 points in the series. And, you know, I honestly thought Denver was going to be out. I thought, you know, Utah was going to close them out in game five. And Murray put on a really good performance to help them, you know, steal game five, to push it to, you know, game six. So this is definitely a good series. And, you know, we're definitely going to see which superstar can lead the team to victory. To you know, either, you know, to close out the series or to force a game seven. I'm picking Utah to pull it out. Donovan Mitchell has been on a tear, and I feel like he's going to definitely show up tonight and try to end this series tonight so that they can move on to the second round. But Denver's tough. Denver's another tough, young, talented team, and you definitely can't overlook them.
I'm not sure. Yeah, it's been a good performance to watch. Just Jamal Murray put the team on his back last game to get the win, and they get Gary Harris back tonight, so that might be big for Denver. It could change what happens, but hopefully Utah close it out. And the winner of that series will play the Clippers second round. It's gonna be interesting to see.
Right. That's definitely gonna be a good second round matchup for the Clippers to play the winner of this series. So yeah, you're definitely going to have some good matchups in the second round of the playoffs once, you know, the smoke clears from the first round.
All right, the second round is really when the playoffs is, I think, is really going to start with these good matchups. But moving on, NFL news. You know, the NFL season is around the corner. This first game of September 10th. It's good to have football back. Has to get excited for this season. And, you know, me and my pops are Cowboys fans, and, you know, I feel like the Cowboys are going to do great things this season. Great things this season.
Yeah, they definitely have a great draft and off season, and you know the talent on the Cowboys is you know is off the charts this year. Pretty much, you know, you can go down to every position on both sides of the ball. They should, I would say, you know, definitely take the NFC East. And, you know, with the talent this year and with the new coach and philosophy and schemes that we have now, you know, we can definitely make a deep run in the playoffs and possibly make a Super Bowl appearance. So that's the goal and that's the hope with this talent that Jerry has, you know, put on the field. And hopefully, you know, we can stay healthy, you know, so that we can actually, you know, make that type of run. You know, we've already suffered an injury in training camp with Gerald McCoy going down, who was a big free agent acquisition. So we definitely need, you know, to keep these other guys healthy throughout the season to give us a shot.
All right, young rising star, rookie we drafted, CeeDee Lamb. I've been hearing reports that he's been looking good in training camp and was voted to the best wide receiver as he's been impressive all year. Now I expect him to have a great year this year, definitely in that offense. With the wide receiver core we have, I expect him to have a great year with Amari and Gallup on his side.
Yeah, he definitely can come in and put up some numbers early, especially when you're playing with two really, really good wide receivers. You have that luxury, and he's going to have that luxury of not being double teamed all game long because of the talent that's on the outside of him, especially if they're playing him in the slot a lot and moving him around. So, yeah, there's reports in training camp that he's been playing phenomenal. He's catching everything that's coming his way. And they're saying, you know, the speed is there and, you know, the talent is there. So he definitely has an opportunity to make a big impact on this team and this offense this coming season.
I agree. But even on the defensive side of the ball, we added some new people. We have Clinton Dix, as we have Gerald McCoy, but he's out for the year. Erickson Griffin, Alden Smith. We still have the three, Jalen Smith, Van Der Esch, Sean Lee. Drafted Diggs, I forgot his first name, Stephon Diggs' brother, Robinson. So that defense, I think, is going to be pretty solid this year. Pretty solid this year.
Defense is definitely going to be pretty solid this year. Got a new defensive coordinator. And you know, reports coming out of camp was they're practicing, you know, a lot in the 3-4 scheme. So it's going to be a lot of, you know, aggressive play, you know, attacking the ball and, You know, probably going to see a lot more blitzes coming out of that scheme with the new defensive coordinator. Yeah, defensively, you know, like I said, the talent on the defensive side is phenomenal. You also have that defensive tackle that they brought over from the Carolina Panthers, I believe. I forget his name right now. I believe his name is Poe. Something Poe, if I'm not mistaken.
Don Terry Poe.
Right. So, yeah, the talent they've amassed between the draft and free agency on the defensive side of the ball is, you know, they did a good job. The reports coming out of the camp is Diggs has been playing outstanding as well, and there's a chance that he may end up starting on the one side of the ball at corner. So, you know, the rookies definitely have an opportunity to make an impact on this team, both offensively and defensively. And if we can just, you know, get Earl Thomas in the mix, then I definitely say we will be so well.
You want Earl Thomas. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I like Earl Thomas as a player. He's definitely a baller. He's won a Super Bowl. But I feel like the only problem with him, yeah, I understand. He said years ago, 3 years ago, to Jason Garrett, come get me after the Seattle game. But I feel like the only problem, if he was to come in, that he might ruin the chemistry because, you know, he kind of is a hothead. As we know, he punched his teammate in Baltimore, which kind of led to his release. But there's other stuff that has been happened to him, but we're not going to get deep into that. But I feel that's the only problem that would happen if he was to get him. I don't wouldn't mind getting him, but that's the only problem I fear would happen if he was to come to Dallas.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, the secondary has been the weakest part of the defense for years now. So, you know, to have him in Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, you know, in that secondary, which is solidify our secondary. I mean, let's face it, you know, the Cowboys haven't been always signing, you know, or bringing in players who haven't had a checkered pass. So they still have the defensive end who's still suspended, and they're still trying to appeal to get him back on the field. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, Earl Thomas may come with a little baggage, may, you know, definitely coming with some, you know, reputation that definitely took a hit from in Baltimore and even in Seattle. But, you know, I think it could definitely work. He's a kid from Texas, Texas kid, and went to the University of Texas, and he's been wanting to come home to play for the Cowboys for years now. So I think now is the opportunity to bring him in. We've been needing a caliber safety, you know, like Earl Thomas, and when we had the opportunity to sign him in free agency, I guess the Cowboys just didn't take a chance in terms of signing him because of the amount of money he wanted coming off the injury. But you see that he's 100% healthy. You see what he did in Baltimore last season. And he's back to being the type of player that he was in Seattle. So, I mean, if you're really trying to make that run to the Super Bowl, you know, you definitely need to solidify that defense and that secondary. And although we made some good acquisitions in the secondary on defense, none of those guys bring to the table what Earl Thomas does. So I think it's definitely a chance, you know, worth taking. And I think the price would be right now if he was to get him.
Yeah, we'll see with Jerry Jones and the executives. They see what they want to do, if they want to sign him or not. We'll give you more updates on that as the NFL season is coming to approach, and this should be an exciting year. I predict the Cowboys to at least go 12-4, the worst 11-5. From what I've seen and on the talent and the schedule we have, so we'll see what happens as the season progresses.
Yeah, they definitely have an opportunity to, like I said, they should, you know, with the talent that they have, they should definitely win the NFC East, 11-5, 12-4. And you know, as long as they stay healthy, especially on the defensive end more than anything, and as well as the offensive line, because the offensive line has been taking a hit too, especially in preseason. We could be in the position to make a big run in the playoffs and possibly a Super Bowl appearance. So.
Yeah, we know the NFC is a tough conference, so there ain't no cakewalk in the NFC. I mean, nothing sweet in the NFC, so
no.
It's going to be it's tough every year. Every year is tough.
So. Absolutely.
But all right, this concludes the episode for today. I hope you listened to what we said and tuned in. There's a lot we covered today. And until next time, I'm Tyler Brown, and my father, Tyler Brown Sr. Anything, any last words you want to say?
No, just, everybody, pray and stay safe, and, let's unite and then look out for one another. You know, we're living in some rough times, between the COVID-19, times and all the, gun violence and police violence. We're living in some times now that's just not a good time for anybody. So, let's just stay prayed up and let's unite and keep everybody safe.
That's right. Black people, stick together, not kill each other. We are not the enemies here. Definitely not. So definitely stick together and just unite and stop all this violence on each other and kill the people that's actually killing us.
Right.
With that being said, this concludes our episode. Appreciate you having you here.
No problem. Thank you for inviting me on. Appreciate it.
And this is your host, and I'm up.
Peace.